This is Art House Radio. I'm Troy. Thank you for listening. Welcome. At the time of this recording, we're about a year into the COVID-19 pandemic, and I have not had the courage or the interest to watch any pandemic or outbreak-related movies until a few days ago when I was looking through Prime, and I saw 28 Days Later, the 2002 film directed by Danny Boyle. I had to watch it, and I have a couple of things that I need to say about it because I think there are some parallels here. The first thing, if you're not familiar with the movie, it's 19 years old, but it's about a virus that starts in a lab, gets out, and then basically destroys nearly everything on planet Earth. So the first thing I wanted to say was when we see the film start, what we see are monitors, several TVs of riots in the streets, violence between cops and protesters and rioters or whatever you want to call them. And you could tell that basically what's happening is a societal breakdown, which sounds familiar. Even if a lot of the protests that we've seen in this first year of COVID-19 weren't necessarily related to COVID, some of them were towards the end, but it almost had to do with a completely different issue. But it's hard to imagine that the stress and the negativity and the trauma that has been associated with this virus that has really, really rocked the entire planet for a year. It's hard to think that didn't play into it a little bit, just in terms of the human psyche behind it or the way we process stress and all that. Anyway, we see these monitors, and unfortunately what we see also is a monkey that is chained to a chair and forced to watch all these six TVs of human behavior. Now, I don't know what the point of these studies were for that, but we do come to find out that I read somewhere that the virus was created in this laboratory because they were trying to actually remove aggression from primates. Apparently, when you study them or try to learn behavior or teach them things around the age of 7 or 8, they become very difficult to work with because they become more aggressive. And so they tried to create a virus to remove that aggression, and what happened was the opposite. So they became filled with uncontrollable rage, and you see all these monkeys in cages. But that's the second point. Let me finish the first point. It's similar to A Clockwork Orange, where they tie him up and prop open his eyelids and make him watch all these images and video on screens. And I just kept thinking with the rioting and the way that you see a monkey chained up, it just makes you think about how badly we have screwed things up on this planet in so many ways. And I'm not trying to be negative. There are great things we've done too, but it really sinks in a year into a pandemic when you see rioting on the streets and you see human behavior like locking a monkey up to a chair and making him watch like reruns of terrible incidents in human history. I don't understand what that's going to accomplish, but one thing it does accomplish is it communicates to me that I don't see enough of a difference there to make me go, it's film. What are you going to do? Fiction? It's fiction. It's not. So that's the first thing. The second thing that I noticed was in the opening scene, just after the monkey is watching all these horrible images, against his or her will, by the way, as the opening scene in the laboratory where the scientist is coming back to work and animal rights activists have broken into the lab. So, on the one hand, the scientist, you heard him say, in order to cure, you have to understand. Now, you know that there are probably some really big-time experiments going on in the last year with COVID-19, and probably not the time to bring up animal rights. I have no idea. I don't know how I feel about this. I mean, when those animal rights activists break in, you root for them to get those monkeys free, and they keep saying, we're going to take these animals with us. And the scientist is like, you cannot let this virus get out, because once it does, it's going to do what it ends up doing in the movie, destroying nearly everything quickly. But this is the dilemma, right? You have the scientists who are in some cases, I would assume, trying to solve things for us, trying to make things better. And on the other hand, they're willing to stand on piles of dead bodies, monkey bodies, in order to do it. So I'm not sure if the ends justify the means. Do they? I have no idea. I would say no. I mean, I couldn't do it. But am I glad that somebody did that so that we have ibuprofen and other medicines for when all of us get sick? Or that if we have them there when a virus breaks out? But the thing is that whether you agree with it or not, think about all the laboratories in the world that have been doing things forever and that are doing it now and that are probably, I would hope, beefing up security and safety measures in light of what's happening now. How long do we have before something major breaks out? I mean, this already broke out. I don't want to get into where it came from. I don't know enough about it. But, I mean, I'm not implying anything with that. I'm just saying I don't know enough about it. I know that it's happening, and that's all anybody's focused on, I think. But certainly there must be cases or near disasters where things have almost gotten out, right? I mean, isn't that what we're talking about with The Walking Dead as well? In Stephen King's The Stand? Same thing. Humans make mistakes. Human things make mistakes. And so this opening scene of you've got a situation where science is trying to do things, let's assume they're trying to do a great thing here by studying these monkeys, completely backfires on them. And then you have people who come into the situation and try to resolve it on their own by stopping it. And they're doing the right thing, but they're also not doing the right thing because these monkeys have a virus and they're infected. And what's going to happen is they nearly wipe out everything on the planet in this movie. So there's a lot of parallels here. And, you know, it's something that you can't help but think about in the context of the current situation and all the similarities. Now, clearly this virus, that COVID-19, is not on the same level as this virus, but you have to wonder, when is it going to be that level? So before I play the last thing, I just want to play a clip real quick of when the main character played by Cillian Murphy, Jim, he wakes up in the hospital and everything is a ghost town. He's walking around London. There's nothing on the streets except papers. There's nobody around. Eventually he sort of stumbles upon infected people who chase him. And then he has two people who save him. They take him back to their little convenience store and tell him what's going on.
So who are you? Well, you're from a hospital, yeah?
And you're a doctor.
He's not a doctor, he's a patient.
Look, I'm a bicycle courier. I was riding a package from Farringdon to Shaftesbury Avenue and a car cut across me. And then I wake up today in hospital, I wake up and I'm hallucinating or I'm... What's your name? Jim. I'm Mark. This is Selena. Okay, Jim. I've got some bad news.
It started as writing. And right from the beginning, you knew this was different. Because it was happening in small villages, market towns. And then it wasn't on the TV anymore. It was in the street outside. It was coming through your windows. It was a virus. Infection. You didn't need a doctor to tell you that. It was the blood. Or something in the blood. By the time they tried to evacuate the cities, it was already too late. The infection was everywhere. The army blockades were overrun. And that's when the extras started. The day before the TV and radio stopped broadcasting, there were reports of infection in Paris and New York. We didn't hear anything
government. What are they doing?
There's no government.
Of course there's a government. There's always a government. They're in a bunker or a plane.
No, there's no government, no police, no army. No TV, no radio, no electricity. And you're the first uninfected person we've seen in 6 days.
What's your family?
They're dead at Selena's.
Yours will be dead too.
So I love the way she talks and describes to him how you could tell it was different, that there were rioting in market towns and small towns, that there was something different going on. And I remember watching this movie back when it first came out, say pre-COVID, and thinking, oh, this is so scary and this is, it's so good. And, but now that you know that it's actually possible, and it was always possible, but it didn't really hit you, this movie hits even harder now. As you go on, and this is the third point that I want to make about this film, the last point, as you go on, they end up running later on at the end of the movie into this sort of military base, this quasi-military base that's run by assholes, basically. And one of the soldiers, the only one with a sort of a conscience, says something when they're talking about the longevity of the virus and will they survive or whatever, and when will things get back to normal. Sound familiar? And then Sergeant Farrell, who's the one of the sane one, the only sane one, says this, and I think it's a beautiful quote. If you look at the whole life of the planet, we, you know, man, has only been around for a few blinks of an eye. So if the infection wipes us all out, that is a return to normality. It's hard to know what to say to that. And this movie really kind of shook me, given the context, because I've said this before to some people, and I'm not saying this to sort of bum you out, but when you watch what's happening now, I can't help but think that there's got to be the possibility that we're at the beginning of this thing, not at the end. And I don't know where we're at. I hope that I'm wrong. I hope that this vaccine works. But anyway, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to digress into the current situation, but it's hard not to talk about both situations. This movie was great. And at the end, when they're sort of rescued, the one thing that I noticed, and this is apparently the movie ended kind of abruptly at first because they ran out of funding. And then when they got funding, they went back and added the last scene. And the last scene is actually shot in 35 millimeter. So the whole movie is kind of put in this grainy cell phone footage. Like the cinematography just looks like rough. It's interesting though. I'm not saying I didn't like it. I do. But it's interesting that the very end when they're rescued is in like this crisp, clear 35 millimeter sort of some symbolism in there, maybe some sort of symbolic meaning behind the look of it. Okay. Thank you for listening. I'm Troy. Patreon.com/Ardos Radio if you can. Otherwise, I will see you in the next episode. Take care.